radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Cam, Smith. It's happening! Cam Smith. It's been a day of jubilation these last 23 hours because Astros super prospect Cam Smith is a prospect no more. The prospect became a player. The boy became a man. Yesterday, the Astros announced that Smith had made the Astros opening day roster, and they did it in a very cool way. How did they do it? They got Cam Smith's mom to fly to Houston last night, and Joe Espada, with a rather dramatic announcement, said, "Hey, don't you love hearing good news from a family member, a father, a brother, a sister, a mother? Well, I'm going to call somebody, and they're going to come in here, and they're going to tell somebody some really good news." And what happened was Joe Espada called for Cam Smith's mom, who came into the Astros clubhouse. Cam Smith, immediately emotional, teared up, a very awesome embrace with his mom. I love to see it. I'm a mama's boy. Every mama's boy out there, you're probably cutting onions at that moment in time. "Oh, my allergies are really hurting me. Oh, I can't admit I cry. That's not masculine." Here is Cam Smith talking about the Astros' decision to put him on the opening day roster. Very emotional at his locker yesterday.
"Yeah, I always thought it was possible. You know, I think I had a great group of guys around me to help me out to get here today. So I always saw it as a possibility, you know, for it to happen. And, you know, we're here today talking about it now. So I'm very blessed."
"I know this is very emotional for you, but just the special nature of having your mom deliver that. You said you broke down, but what kind of, can you just take us through the idea that she would be the one, after all she did for you, to tell you that you made the major leagues?"
"Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry."
"It's okay."
"You know, at one point it was just me and her in the house. She struggled to take me to baseball games and practice, and I'm just happy to do it for her."
Give that man a hug. He needs a hug. Give it to him, baby. No, not sexually. Empathetically. Man needs a hug.
Ari Alexander should have thrown his phone down.
All of those media members right there, they all should have joined together and given Cam Smith a group hug.
Chandler Rome, Brian McTaggart.
It wouldn't have been weird for anybody. And a lot of people would say, "Paul, that's not professional." Well, what's more professional than showing your fellow man a little bit of love?
It's about more than professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a little thing called life.
Right, exactly. Someone texted in, "Paul, yeah, you would want to hug another man." Yeah, I would. I'm not uncomfortable hugging another man. Are you? "Paul, always tiptoeing that line of gay and not gay." Sir, hugging another man is the straightest thing you can do. "You probably want a little more than a hug, Paul." No. I just want to hug a man who's tearing up because he's emotional about finally making to the opening day roster. It's the most interactive sports talk show in town. You can chime in at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text. We have Jake calling in about Cam Smith, who just made the opening day roster for the Astros. Jake, yo.
"Yo. So I heard that when Cam and Joe Espada, when Joe Espada gave him the news, they hugged and they looked at each other and they said, 'Together at last. Together forever, they're tying a knot they never can sever.'" Sticking with the Annie theme, sir.
I like this. We're just going straight musicals today. Let's make this perhaps the most questionably sexual orientation segment of all time. I love that. You know, the sad thing is the only song that I remember from Annie is Tomorrow. The sun will come out tomorrow and Cam Smith will be in right field tomorrow. There's one texter that hates it whenever I sing, and I really want this texter to hear it because we're going to melt your heart. We're going to melt your heart, whether it's with Cam Smith making the Astros opening day roster or with it's just the power of music. Appreciate the phone call, Jake. From the 832. Damn, Paul. Same clip three times in one show. Slow day. No, it's the greatest day of our lives. Cam Smith, who the Astros traded Kyle Tucker for, is already a major leaguer. You know what's better than one major league player? And again, I'm really perhaps reaching here, but you know what's better than one major league player? Three major league players. Isak Paredes. You know what he does? Hits bombs in short left fields. Draws a ton of pitches. Fouls off a lot of balls. Yeah, that is what we get from Isak Paredes. That's part two of the trade. See the other thing that happened? Remember when the Astros got Hayden Wisniewski? Yeah, that guy. Did you see what Hayden Wisniewski played as his entrance music when he came out onto the hill, Sean?
I actually didn't hear that or see this or hear.
Oh my God! It's the ultimate pander move to the point where I think the guy should be in the Astros rotation right away.
Was I mean, listen, be a baller?
3-6, 3.86 ERA. No, no, but close. Still tipping.
Okay.
Let's go. And look, he's from Houston.
No, I get it. I get
Sam Houston State, Cy Fair. I love it. The vibes are immaculate right now. Paul, the Astros aren't even a real World Series contender. Shut up! Don't bring the vibes down.
No.
Just because they have two guys playing in the outfield for the first time ever is no reason to doubt the Astros.
Two guys that have played, what, a combined 10 games of outfield? I don't know. Altuve played a lot of outfield in spring training.
He did.
But it can't be much more than 10 combined.
Right. From the 409, time to get a number 15 jersey. He's wearing number 11. He is wearing number 11.
That thought crossed my mind when he was playing in spring training, and then especially when he hit the triple in against the Space Cowboys. And he's still wearing number 90. And I was like, I wonder, are they going to give him a real number at some point? Or are they?
Yeah.
Is he going to have to settle for?
90 is a lot.
It's great for the, you know, number one pick defensive end, you know? Mm-hmm.
Even now, that's not even cool for the number one pick defensive end.
11. Yeah.
Right. Now you're probably like wearing 1 through 9.
Yeah.
You're a one digit number. From the 281, CJ and Cam. Our criers, real men cry. Yes, CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Crying's in. Guys, toxic masculinity, it's kind of coming back, but it's not all the way back. Crying is in. When's the last time you had a cry? 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text. For me, it was every single time today that we have played Cam Smith talking with Astros media about making the opening day roster. And a lot of you probably think I'm being sarcastic and facetious. Nope. Nope. Truly. The first time I watched that, the second time I watched that, the third time I watched that, I got emotional. I'm not kidding. I really did. I teared up a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I did. It's really cool. The moment with his mom is awesome. It's really cool. I think you're a heartless bastard if you don't think that. It was a really cool moment. Listen, I know I'm a cynical a-hole all the time. I'm a bit of a douche canoe. I get all that stuff. But from time to time, let's all agree that some moments should be cherished. Precious moments. Like, some moments should be cherished. And that was a good moment. And from here on out, say Cam Smith struggles, which it's certainly possible. That's a very, very cool moment.
What draft pick that's played less minor league games and made an opening day roster?
Right. But you know what? He's the chosen one. It's super cool when you say it like that. But yes, for those who don't know, only two players.
Oh, okay.
Only two major league players have played in less games before
making the opening day roster.
Making the opening day roster. One of them was John Olerud, but he had played 6 major league games before that. And then there's some other guy from the Texas Rangers in 1986, Pete Incaviglia, a 32 minor league games, just six above A-ball. This is very novel stuff.
I think that's why I can't really fully be excited, because I it's a little bit of I'm watching this through my fingers of like, gosh, I hope this works out, because of how little he's played minor league baseball and how little he's played right field, the position he will be starting at tomorrow. Presumably he'll be starting there tomorrow. I'm nervous. I'm nervous for Cam Smith. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm nervous for him. I hope it works out.
The Twitch is so mad. They want hardcore baseball conversation. Listen, you got hardcore baseball conversation. That's the most hardcore baseball conversation that I've had without Joe at 1 o'clock ever, you know? Check out the ESPN Houston YouTube channel for the season preview that Astros front office insider Jeremy Booth and I did. But listen.
There's almost no show tunes in that one.
Almost none. I don't think I sang in that segment.
None that segment. Okay.
Right. I don't think I sang in that segment. Some are calling this Gadio. Listen, that's kind of funny. But no, we're just all enjoying a moment together. Guys can cry. Have you seen Varsity Blues? Oh, you talk about all this toxic masculinity in Texas football. Billy Bob cried. He was a bit of a crier. That was what Billy Bob did. Why can't Cam Smith? Let's be empathetic. Let's be emotional. Let's all share in the collective experience, celebrating the joy of a young man who finally realized his dream and had his mother announce it to him. Everyone thinks I'm being sarcastic. Sean, stop laughing. This is a really, really important moment.
I don't know. I saw the video. I saw it. It was like 2 minutes long. Can I be honest? I didn't watch the whole video.
You didn't watch the whole video?
I didn't watch all 2 minutes of it.
Oh, come on.
I feel like I got the gist.
You didn't want to listen to Joe Espada's speech? It was less than 2 minutes.
I heard that part. I think that's what got me out, was the Joe Espada, like, oh, let me give them a call. And I was like, okay, I'm good. I don't need to watch this.
People are getting very upset right now. This is honestly the most upset. You guys know who I am, right? Like, you know what this show is, don't you? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. It's a hard knock life for Cam Smith. Will it be a hard knock life for Cam Smith? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Also, Stephon Diggs, no longer a Houston Texan. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Cam Smith made the Astros opening day roster. He's going to start in right field for the Astros tomorrow for opening day. It's still hard to believe. They showed the announcement in the Astros clubhouse, which was made in front of the entire Astros team, where Cam Smith's mom came into the clubhouse. Cam Smith got very emotional, came up to him and hugged him. The Astros didn't exactly bring out the production team to show this video. Honestly, I do think it's a miss by them. I think that they should have used better cameras. I think that they should have had better microphones. If they would like somebody to be their digital make it shiny boy, well, what, Sean? I couldn't think of a title on the fly. Okay. They want someone to do that. I can do it. And here's the problem with them not doing it. The problem with them not doing it and recording it on a cell phone, clearly, is that you could see the entirety of the Astros clubhouse. And unfortunately, right in the line of sight of where Cam Smith is in his locker, you could see Chaz McCormick, who is facing away from Cam Smith. I think it is very safe to say that Chaz McCormick, who is probably hoping that he's going to have a true chance to play regularly this coming season, he's probably not happy about the fact that a guy who has played third base for his entire playing career to this point is going to be in right field to open up the year, having never played a minor league game in right field. And yeah, a couple of people noticed that. Someone on the text line pointed that out. Also, Junior Broncos pointed it out on the Twitch at ESPN 975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Someone asks on YouTube, Trill O'Reilly, will Cam Smith be the first Astro to get a 10-year contract? I'm not going that far. No.
It would have to be like a Julio Rodriguez style thing where they sign him like tomorrow to a deal that you hope is the Atlanta Braves, Dominican Republic advantageous kind of contract where you're like, there should have been an extra person in the room.
Right, exactly. The deal that John Singleton got and ended up being a bad deal for the Astros.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of deal that realistically Cam Smith should be able to get right now. That is the absolute ceiling. Because, yeah, you do not know what this is going to be. Somebody else also asks, I thought Ken Caminiti's number was retired. No, it's not. He did play for the Astros wearing number 11 from 87 to 94. I think he wore it from 99 to 2000 as well. But it is not a retired number for the Astros. Caminiti, of course, passed away 2004. Really sad. But I think the only way Caminiti, and it's going to sound a little callous, so apologies, but I think the only way Ken Caminiti's number would have been retired is if he died in the middle of the season for the Astros, you know? Didn't Daryl Kyle die in the middle of the season for the Cardinals? Did his number get retired? I don't know if that would happen unless some sort of extenuating circumstance like that happened, even though Caminiti was pretty damn awesome during his time with the Astros.
I mean, they also didn't retire Billy Wagner's number until he made the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one of the cases where it's like kind of borderline, but you could see it either way. But no, number 11, it's now Cam Smith.
And Caminiti's numbers were best with the Padres too, for what it's worth. 95 and 96, 96, 326, 40 homers, 130 RBIs. You know?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Honestly, I for some reason thought one of those seasons happened. No, I think I'm thinking of Jeff Bagwell, 94, and having the season he had where he would have won MVP. Yes. But this
I just looked at his numbers the other day. Yeah, his 94 season was ridiculous because it was like 110 games, and he had 40 home runs.
Mm-hmm. Todd the Show says he is in the Astros Hall of Fame, but his number isn't retired? Huh, interesting. Anyway, Paul Galancho, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Other big news in Houston sports today. It's not really as big of a news story as it might have been had he not torn his ACL last year. Had he played the entirety of last season, if he played all the way through the playoffs and perhaps had some playoff production, Stephon Diggs leaving for the New England Patriots would be a bigger deal. But this was one of those things where I think we always expected Stephon Diggs to sign elsewhere. And he signed a 3-year, $69 million, nice deal with the Patriots. 26 of it is guaranteed. So basically, it's a 1-year deal, I think, for Diggs. The kind of deal that I think very few teams would have even considered offering. The Patriots have just been so bad at getting wide receiver talent for years and years and years that they had to overpay for someone who I think is on the other side of his career. I do not think this is going to go great for the Pats, and it does bum me out a little bit because, one, I liked Stephon Diggs when he was here. Felt like the Texans babied him a little bit and should have been some more media availabilities, but I liked Diggs when he was here. I thought he played well. He was a good teammate. All the crap that he got dumped on from his time in Buffalo, that wasn't a problem here. Everyone seemed to like him. You know, we were thinking going into the year, hey, how is he going to handle a receiver room where he's not getting a lot of targets, especially just knowing how he is. But, I mean, if you watched the games that he was in, I always thought that of all the players on the Texans sideline, when they would zoom in on him, no one was more positive during moments of strife for the Texans offense. And there were a lot of those, right? I mean, geez, between the false starts and the holds and all that stuff, like the Texans offense had some really rough moments this past season. And Diggs was more of a leader than Laremy Tunsil was in those situations. Yeah, there's one specific moment. It was against the Vikings when all the false starts were happening. And Diggs, while everyone's coming out the field, specifically Laremy Tunsil, he's like going up to Laremy Tunsil and he's like encouraging him. And I was like, whoa, okay. I didn't know Diggs had that in his bag. Everyone said that when something goes wrong, Diggs is going to call you on it because he's super competitive. No, I thought he matured a little bit. But the problem is now, I mean, coming off a torn ACL at age 31, I don't care if the injury took place 5 months ago and if it's easier than ever to come back from a torn ACL. That's going to be really tough for Diggs.
Yeah, it was going to be really tough, and it was going to be even tougher for the Texans to make it work just with all that they need to do along the offensive line. Never mind the contract he ended up getting from the Patriots, right, which I don't know if they would have had to beat that. Also, such a classic case of the first number that gets reported. It's like 3 years, $69 million. You're like, wait, he's going to make over 20 per year? Like,
yeah.
He's going to make almost 25 per year, and then $26 million guaranteed. It's like, oh, okay. So it's a one-year contract.
It's a one-year deal. That's it.
But yeah, that's something that the Texans just weren't going to be able to do or probably even come close to. So it makes sense that it never actually seemed very real in the during this offseason.
It definitely makes the wide receiver probably need number one. I think with where they're drafting, it's between interior offensive line and wide receiver. And I again think that people are far too confident in what's going to happen in the draft based off of the scouting reports done by other people. So I'm not going to tell you who I think is going to be available at the back. I'll leave that for real experts like Lance Zierlein there. But it was interesting to see yesterday Nick Caserio at the Texas Pro Day. Did you see how intense he was watching things?
Yes. What a stance by Robo Caserio. So not beating the robot allegation.
No, not at all. Although it was definitely robot trying to assimilate to human movement. But it was so locked in, so intense. There is a video online. I think the NFL posted this on X of while Quinn Ewers is throwing for his pro day workout, Nick Caserio is standing in the end zone in the Texas practice bubble. His hands are on both of his knees as if he is, and I've only seen one other guy do this, Lee Corso in his designer jeans, practically standing on the field in a game between Texas A&M and Florida in 2012. It was the first time I ever went to College Station. I was watching that game on the sideline, had the privilege of standing next to Chris Fowler the whole game. One of the nicest guys I've ever met in sports media. Unbelievably generous with his time. Talked to us the whole time. But the whole game, even though Chris Fowler was like actually being really cool with us and talking to me and John Cassio for probably like 20 minutes or so, I could not get the image of Lee Corso on the sideline, on the 20-yard line, like in the white by himself as if he's an actual coach. And the only time I've ever seen intensity like that of a man who has his hands on both of his knees watching football is from Nick Caserio in the end zone at an effing pro day yesterday for Texas. You have to look this up. It is weirdly intense to the point where I'm like, wait a second. Is Nick Caserio looking at Quinn Ewers and starting to feel some things?
He's also standing by himself. Like there's
by himself.
There's no one within 10 yards.
It's about as weird as watching Elon Musk balancing a bunch of spoons on his hand that we saw a couple of days ago, I think, at a White House dinner. Like there's this fancy dinner, and Elon Musk has this like this attractive woman next to him, and he's just completely checked out. President Trump is right to his right, and he's just standing there, and he's balancing a bunch of spoons on his hand. And there's this attractive girl that I'm sure Elon Musk probably had a child with after things were done because she was just enamored with what he was doing. She takes out her phone. She starts recording it. That kind of intensity was the intensity with which Nick Caserio was staring at Quinn Ewers to the point where, Sean, I am wondering if once again C.J. Stroud is going to be looking over his shoulder at Quinn Ewers like he did at Ohio State.
Quinn Ewers at Davis Mills backup quarterback
that would be something else. Like, hey, if Quinn Ewers falls to the third or fourth round,
no, pick an offensive lineman.
It would be so funny if the Texans drafted Quinn Ewers. I imagine he will go before that though. Just
although
given,
you know,
the lack of quarterback options.
Patriots, they always picked a quarterback in like the third round.
Ooh, that's true. Well, listen, this is a big sticking point for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was really pissed at John Schneider, GM of the Seahawks, because he went to the pro days for one, Patrick Mahomes 1 year, which right call, two, Josh Allen the next year. Like the guy did his due diligence.
I remember that.
And Russell Wilson was pissed about this like years later. And I mean, honestly, look who's the better quarterbacks. Both of those guys.
Yeah, they should draft. John Schneider should draft him. Now, they weren't really in position to.
Yeah, it would have been tough, but it wasn't like completely out of reach. You know, if the Chiefs could trade up from wherever they were to go get Mahomes, then the Seahawks probably could have.
Like 15th to
10th? Yeah, it just would be awkward to do it only a couple of years after the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl. But yeah, Nick Caserio at the Texas Pro Day, you watched it with quite an intense look in his eyes and a very, very intense stance. And what actually happened at this pro day? Isaiah Bond improved on his 40 dash time, 0.01 second improvement, and
he
had zero drops.
No, still didn't beat
the record.
Okay.
Didn't. He said he was going to run the fastest 40 time ever. Didn't do that. They've already interviewed with Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden, and they're going to interview running back Jaden Blue.
Huge update. I'm glad there's a graphic for it.
Yes, there's one of the NFL Texans aggregators posted update Texans to interview running back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as all of these rather posts are, sorry for that graphic motion on the air, for all of those posts, you will see some rando who's like, imagine a guy running a 4.36 in the Texas offense with C.J. Stroud. And yeah, again, like
I remember Trendon Holiday. I've seen a fast guy in a Texans uniform before.
Trendon Holiday was good though, and the Texans let him walk. And I think did Trendon Holiday have a touchdown against the Texans in the playoffs?
That sounds familiar. I think he was also on a Super Bowl team.
He did. Yeah, we'll have to look that up. Anyway, guys, it's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on the YouTube. Marty says, we need an offensive lineman, not another quarterback. I just hope Quinn Ewers ends up somewhere safe for us, like the Cowboys. Okay, this sounds like a Texas fan. I am not concerned about Quinn Ewers as a pro prospect. I'm sorry, I'm not. He's had some flashes. He is so effing inconsistent.
Not the only chance he has, but what I imagine the best chance for him will be is a Shanahan, McVay, Kevin O'Connell, like, robot point-and-shoot quarterback system where they're like, hey, listen, we made this work with Sam Darnold, all right? You just do exactly what I say, and that's it.
Yeah.
And boom. I think he can do that. He can, if you just point him in the direction and say, make that throw, he can do it. When he has to create outside the structure, goes terribly wrong.
So he's going to be Jared Goff. He needs a headset. Guy.
Yes.
Ooh, what? Rams? Quinn Ewers? Replacement for Matt Stafford?
Groom him behind Matt Stafford. I don't know.
That honestly would be interesting.
That's like those are the only situations where I would think like this could work. Everything else, I think you're kind of just burning a draft pick of like, hey, we took a guy. Let's see if he develops.
Also, the other prospects for Texas and just Steve Sarkisian as a whole. Texas's offense was so frustrating last year, and I'm not really sure who to point at, because obviously Quinn Ewers is the easy person to point at, but I mean, all these weapons that everyone's talking about is like first-round players, second-round players, and the offense was that last year, you know?
It's like back-to-back drafts, and some of this is defensive players of like 13 guys drafted, and it's like, huh.
Look, Sark's a little overrated. I think Sark, there's no denying what a good job he has done with Texas, but I think like the Sark, the offensive guru, let's relax a little bit, just given the amount of weapons he had to work with and the lack of production in big spots by that offense.
It's definitely like, it's either Sark or Quinn Ewers, and I feel like we'll know which one of these guys is the like, kind of overhyped part of it. Because even like Sarkisian, like at Alabama, they're awesome at Alabama, but they also had five first-round wide receivers.
Every single year. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Cam Smith made the Astros opening day roster. He's going to be starting in right field. And Stephon Diggs, now a member of the New England Patriots. Up next, what's washed in the world of sports? Are the Houston Cougars washed specifically this time of the tournament? Things have not gone their way in this Sweet 16. It's the third time the charm. We'll talk about it next. In Washed Watch Wednesday, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We all know something or someone that's washed.
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
From dating apps,
swipe, 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 swipe.
To Skip Bayless,
it's my turn.
To Scott Boras, it's time to find out who's on Washed Watch on the Paul Gallant Show.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Washed Watch. What's washed in the world of sports? Guys, is the train at Minute Maid Park washed? Because it looks like it has been completely scrubbed from Daikin Park. Picture from Ben Verlander. It's opening day eve, and the train is still nowhere to be found in Houston. Yeah, there's no train in left field. I think at this point, that means there's not going to be a train in left field this year.
I thought they said that it was.
I did too,
stick
Sean.
Around, but
I thought they were going to bring it back, but it's not there. Can we get a wellness check for Bobby Dynamite, who's of course our fearless train conductor?
Yeah, we need to hear back from Bobby Dynamite, because if it's just, hey, you know, it's not going to be there for opening day, but like, rest assured, by the second series, it'll be there. You know, it's on the Lance McCullers plan of like, hey, not going to be ready straight out. We need a couple more rehab starts. We need I don't know what they're doing. Repainting this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Taking out all the oranges and putting in something refrigeration-based, something HVAC related? I don't know. But I need the train back. If the train's not back, then like all the goodwill from calling up Cam Smith, wasted.
But they can win it back if they put Taos Hill back in.
Yes. Yes. Or what?
I need some traditional weird thing in the ballpark. And if I don't have a train, give me a flagpole on a hill in the middle of center field.
Or at the very least, I'll even settle for this. You know how the Yankees and Red Sox, their spring training facilities are exact replicas of, or like measurement wise, they're replicas of Yankee Stadium and Fenway. The Astros should do that with their spring training facility. Make it a exact replica of Minute Maid or of Daikin, but keep the hill.
Yeah.
Keep the hill in center field.
They need money to do that, sadly. Like, this is really for the big budget teams.
It would take a lot of money to do that.
From the 409, the train is being replaced with an aircraft carrier. That, I don't think that's physically possible. Aircraft carrier is probably, I would imagine, the size of Minute Maid Park and more, right? Like,
yes.
You have to have enough room
planes
for
land on it.
Plane to land?
Planes land.
I don't think it would work. From the 832, Washed Watch, Paul, are you going to be at East River 9 tomorrow? Yes. He says, I think it's time we meet. Let's play a hole for no singing for a month. What say you, your biggest hater? Listen, guys, we cannot do a disservice to the fans of the Paul Gallant Show by stopping me from singing. And I don't know what's in it for me. What's in it for me here? I'm not good at golf.
Yeah.
So what's in it for me? I see nothing in it for me. So sadly, I must decline your offer unless you can up the ante.
So you're not playing a hole?
No, I'm not playing a hole. No, I got to get my haircut tomorrow after the show. It's an absolute mob. My hair, washed? Not today. Washed Watch Wednesday. Didn't wash it. Are the Houston Cougars, when they advance to the Sweet 16, washed? They've lost their last two games in the Sweet 16.
I don't know, but that's old business. That's old news.
But this time, they're on the road. They're playing a team that is from, essentially, Indianapolis and Purdue. I don't know, Jim. I don't know.
I really do think they would have beat Duke last year.
I agree. The Miami game is the one where you're like, what the hell was
Miami
that?
Miami one's tough.
In 2023, 89-75. And it never was close. I remember watching that from Sarasota, Florida. I was like, what? I didn't think I needed to watch that game going into it. It's like, oh, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because they beat Northern Kentucky. And they beat Auburn in Alabama, like, convincingly to advance to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. If Shed played last year, I think I don't think we're talking about this. But.
I don't either. And last year too, like they did struggle in the second round too. They did have to beat A&M in overtime.
That is true. That is true.
So anyway, that's just something, just some food for thought. They've lost their last two Sweet 16.
I really like them against Purdue. I have a hard time saying Purdue beat this year's Purdue team beat them. But
I'm with you there.
It's the tournament. Who knows?
You never know.
Who knows? Anything could happen, except for this year, where it's pretty chalky.
Washed Watch. Is he culture washed? Did you see Heat fans cheering Jimmy Butler when he came back? That was lame. The guy quit on you. And I maintain the same energy for Rockets fans who cheered James Harden when he came back. Like, the guy quit on you.
I mean, Vince Carter got his freaking jersey retired by Toronto, who... He also quit on Toronto.
Right.
The Vince Carter thing, it's like, okay, if you want to do, hey, listen, it's been a long time. Time heals all wounds. To be honest, most Raptors fans today were not Raptors fans when Vince Carter was on the
Very
team.
Very true.
Okay, fine. Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler quit on your team like 3 months ago.
Yep.
Have a backbone.
Exactly.
Pat Riley's, I guarantee you, wherever he was watching that game, I don't know if he was there or if he was watching it from his house, but he was sick to his stomach seeing him get applauded.
At least they booed him every time he touched the ball, but they did cheer him first.
I don't even like that. I don't even like that.
Make up your mind.
I get when you're a competitor. No, in general, like when like Correa comes back or, you know, when Bregman comes back for the first time this year, where we will have the radio segment of, like, what should Astros fans do? I generally think for those guys who left on good terms, cheer them. And then once the game starts, like, they're opponents. You know, like, you don't have to boo them, but you don't have to cheer for them every time they step into the batter's box.
Yeah.
I think with Jimmy Butler, you just boo him every time. He quit on your team.
He quit recently, too. Like, this is like 2 months.
Yeah,
two months ago. Not even. It's a month and a half.
He got suspended for basically all of January.
Yeah, that's true.
Contract detrimental to the team.
Washed Watch, Wednesday. Do you know what's washed? The word failure. Martin Saint-Louis, one of the greatest Tampa Bay Lightning players ever. My favorite hockey player ever. Martin Saint-Louis, now the coach of the Montreal Canadiens. After Montreal lost 6-1 to St. Louis, check out this spin zone on failure.
Yeah, to me, you know, at this time of the year, I feel like it's, I heard this saying the other day, you know, it's not failure tonight. To me, it's fertilizer. That's what it needs to be.
Oh my God. It's brilliant. The word failure, washed. Fertilizer? That's what failure is.
I get it. Because it stinks.
Fertilizer does smell.
But it's also going to help you grow.
Exactly.
I'm also, that's why you typed in this guy's full name into the doc, because he was the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Dude, he's like my favorite hockey player ever.
I just wrote NHL coach. And NHL I was like, coach? I'm not writing down this guy's full name.
No. He's Martin Saint-Louis. Give him some respect. One of the... This is a man who constantly won the Lady Ving Trophy.
Win, and it looks like it's going to be a win. Houston gets a hockey team. I am going to have so much learning to do about who these people are.
This guy's a legend.
I was going to say, there's so many legends that I'm like, sure, Martin St. Louis, what's up?
Hey, Saint-Louis. Saint-Louis. Washed Watch. Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted out a bomb. I think Adrian Wojnarowski misses mattering. Being the St. Bonaventure GM and selling his credentials and phones, kind of lame. So he just randomly tweeted out a bomb for engagement, and I think it just shows that, yeah, he's washed, and I think he's bored.
So when I saw this bomb last, and then nothing happened, I was kind of on, like, okay, does he know something?
Mm-hmm.
And then the only NBA news that he could have possibly be talking about was Damian Lillard having a blood clot in his leg.
Yeah.
And potentially missing the rest of the year. They say it's not as bad as... because it's in his leg as if it was somewhere else, whatever. And I was like, wait, was this the bomb that he was teasing? And so then I went to his page to see what he tweeted afterwards. St. Bonaventure's got a guy out of the transfer portal.
Gotcha, okay.
That's what this was.
Well, I reported him to the FBI because that was a threat.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Sydney Sweeney's engagement washed. She took off a picture from her Instagram of her kissing her fiance. Picture's been removed. Sean is greedily rubbing his palms together. She's not necessarily yet a strong, independent woman.
No.
She's a strong woman.
I don't know.
Who could be independent
yeah.
and have her pick.
Yeah. Let's see if those DMs are open, all right?
I got to shower first.
Yeah, you get a haircut.
I need a haircut first. And not washed, the Hawk Tua girl. She's not dead. She posted a video to Instagram making fun of the fact that she stole millions of dollars from complete idiots who bought her crypto coin / Ponzi scheme scam. So there you go.
Huzzah. Yeah, in case you're wondering about Hawk Tua.
Hawk
nope,
Tua girl?
Still around.
Nope.
Although I would say, I don't think she should have died, but it would have been the perfect exit for her public life.
Oh,
if
yeah.
she just should've was never heard
death.
From again.
Should have faked her own death. The mystery would always be there.
Yeah, and I'm not saying really, but definitely a fake death, I think that would have played.
Talk to a podcast, season two. Sean Mays behind the glass on Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. That is Washed Watch Wednesday, every single Wednesday at 2:30. Cam Smith made the Astros opening day roster. Stephon Diggs is no longer a Houston Texan. We got some garbage time before we wrap things up. Stick around.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Cam Smith, he's in right field tomorrow. We are a little over 24 hours away from the Astros opening up the 2025 campaign against the New York Mets. Aircraft carrier battle. Cam Smith, Juan Soto, let's get it. All right, it's that time. Time for some garbage time before we turn things over to the Killer Bees.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Hear about this? Heard about this? Remember this story? Remember how yesterday we talked about a bunch of Houston cows escaping a truck on I-45 on Monday, right at the end of the rodeo?
Yep.
Well, according to Marty Keichelhahn, the owner of the cattle, 55 cows were in the truck in total. 54 returned. There is a cow still on the loose.
Yes.
The owner says they're working with the Harris County Sheriff's Office to recover the remaining cow. They're confident the cow is in a fenced area where they can't get on the road. How do you know that?
Yeah, they started on the road.
Yeah, on the highway.
Yeah.
What if it's dead? Then
people would definitely... We could have accounted for it, though, if there was a cow carcass on 45.
If you hit a serious question, if a cow gets hit by a car mm-hmm. and is dead, can you eat it? Is there too much cortisol or stress that gets into its system?
I think so. I think that's the case.
I wouldn't know because
can't eat it.
If it's the sweet release of instant death and like say someone hits this cow and then all of a sudden, you know what? I got a freezer. We're going to put it in. This cow could be dead and hanging in a freezer.
That's why they use that air pressure gun from
right, because they don't see it coming.
That movie.
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men. The only time I've ever seen that air pressure gun. But I know they use it for cows.
They do.
Because it is instant death. Now, I guess it depends on how it dies by getting hit by a car. Is that instant? I don't know. If it's a, you know, wounded and you're sitting there like, I don't know if this cow's going to make it. I probably wouldn't eat that one.
I would. Steak, steak.
Yeah, I wonder how
much
of that.
Probably a prize cow, too.
I wonder how much of that is real, of like the adrenaline or whatever when a cow dies that makes the meat taste worse.
Good question. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a steak expert. I'm you know, low-key white trash from the Northeast. So, hey, we are what we are. I'm not a cultured man. I couldn't tell you about the notes of wine. Maybe I'll be a sommelier someday. Anyway, guys, continuing through garbage time. Are you born in or before the year 1935? Did you live through World War II? Well, guess what? You could win a free lifetime supply of Fireball whiskey until March 31st, which is the 90th day of the year.
Gotta act fast.
So if you're 90 years old or over, a lifetime supply of Fireball whiskey. I gotta say, Fireball, giving out whiskey to somebody who is over the age of 90 for life, that's chicken bleep.
Yeah.
That's chicken bleep. Now, I do hope that whoever ultimately calls in and gets this Fireball for life, I hope that they're at a nursing home and then they just turn the nursing home just turns into like
an absolute
frat party. Yeah. You know, where you got TDs passing around. Things are starting to get wild. Like, I hope this guy's just an absolute wild man. It would be really funny if someone's grandma.
They're swapping meds.
Yeah,
who knows
exactly
what they're taking? Might end up like Saxton on the White Lotus.
Oh, no.
Do they have bunkmates in retirement homes?
Oh, no. One last note. You might be scared to fly out of Bush Intercontinental. Well, guess what? Fret no more about airline incidents because United Airlines is doubling its maintenance facility size at Bush. Good, because I think you need a little more maintenance for all those United Airlines planes. So there you go. There you go. Guys, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been emotional. We all shared in something today. A man realizing his dream. Of course, talking about Cam Smith, who is on the Astros opening day roster and will be starting in right field tomorrow. Opening day show tomorrow. We're going to be live at East River 9. Come out, hang out with us. For all of our listeners, our texters, our callers, YouTubers, and Twitchers, I am merely Paul Gallant for Sean Mays behind the glass as well. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Big thanks to Jeremy Booth, too, our ESPN Houston front office insider. Check out the podcast with him. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.